Hi there, Israelite brothers and sisters. Welcome to Brother Hebert Presents. This is part 22 of The Gospel Never Told. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. The Gospel Never Told can be found on the main menu and in the Word Study audio section. The Gospel is not about personal salvation. It's not about reciting verses and then claiming you're saved. And it's not just about Jesus. It's about the redemption of the household of Adam. It's the message of how to return to our heritage, our God, and our relationship to God the Father through Jesus Christ. The gospel is about how to return to His kingship. Jesus came preaching the good news of the reign, and He was teaching His people through this message how they enter into His reign. The word kingdom, correctly translated, should read kingship or reign. The kingdom is a reign. It's a condition, and it's a state of mind in which you enter when you are called out of the churches and out of this Babylonian world system. It's a behavior which Jesus Christ taught that would be expressed by your actions, works, beliefs, and lifestyle. It is you, His ecclesia, which means called out of darkness and ignorance and into His light to be a profitable servant, a wise virgin with a full lamp, and one who brings forth fruit. Because if you have faith in Christ, you must also have the faith of Christ. Being called out is a condition you embody, and your actions edifies and prepares for the kingdom as it is to come in glory. When you are in this state of mind and being, the reign of heaven has come upon you. It's a condition you can experience now instead of waiting for the kingdom to come. And it's a condition when you answer the call and show up to work in His vineyard to earn your penny. This is what it means to be a lively stone in His reign. Let's get right into it and see what the rest of Romans has to say about what the gospel is. Romans chapter 11 explains that Yahweh has not cast away His people forever. The churches teach that this is speaking about the Jews. The Jews are not Israelites, they are Edomites. As this presentation has been showing, the people God cast away are Israelites, who are the Anglo-Saxon Caucasian children of Jacob, the very people whom it can be shown through migration, heraldry, and works are the white nations of the world, the only people who have spread the gospel as prophesied and as a whole have received the gospel. Our ancestors were divorced, scattered, and promised reconciliation and redemption. Romans 11:2. God had not cast away his people which he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he makes intercession to God against Israel, saying, Yahweh, they have killed your prophets and digged down your altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Paul mirrors Elijah. Elijah was a prophet sent to the 10 northern tribes of Israel, as was Paul. Psalm 94:14, For Yahweh will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Romans 11:7. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for, but the chosen has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. This was written in Deuteronomy 29:4. Chapter 28 of Deuteronomy contains the blessings which come with obedience and the curses which come with disobedience. The children of Israel violated the covenant and received the curses, and we are still cursed until we come to the knowledge of who we are and whose we are. Most of our people are still asleep and blind and deaf unto this day. Most of them are still in the churches and are still lost. Isaiah 29:10, speaking to Israelites, For Yahweh has poured upon you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, has he covered. Paul is teaching his Israelite kinsmen in Rome that salvation has come to the lost sheep nations of scattered Israel, which they were of. Most of the Romans were Judahites of the branch of Zarah Judah, which had left before the Exodus, and also some of those Israelites that were scattered during the Assyrian and Babylonian invasions. These Zarah branch Israelites settled Troy and later Rome and completely forgot their heritage and identity. Verse 11, I say then, have they erred that they should be condemned? God forbid, but rather, through their offense, salvation has come unto the dispersed nations of Israel, for to provoke them to jealousy. This is a statement from Deuteronomy 32:21. The Israelites had made God jealous by worshiping other gods, and in their wanderings after the divorce, they continued to trust in other gods. Did not the Romans adopt many gods? But now, through the gospel, they remembered who they were and whose they were. They were returning to the one true God and to his laws, and Paul was saying to the Judeans who had the law to not be jealous of the dispersed nations who did not have the law, because they are their Israelite kinsmen, and through Christ they too can receive the same grace. You have to know the history to know the mystery. Jeremiah 11:16, Yahweh speaking to the Israelites of the house of Judah in Jerusalem.
Yahweh called your name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he has kindled a fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken.
Paul then goes into detail with the symbolism of the olive tree and its branches. Romans 11:16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if you boast, you bearest not the root, but the root you. The olive tree is symbolic of the houses of Israel and Judah. These can only be Israelites. Branches are symbolic of descendants, and in context, Israelites. Root signifies ancestry. First fruit is symbolic of that which is dedicated to God. Dedicated in the Old Testament is H 6944, Kodesh, and it means holy, set apart, sacred, a saint. The only people in all of Scripture that are called saints, holy, sacred, and set apart are Israelites. Holy is G40 Hagios and means sacred, consecrated, set apart. Paul is saying, do not glory against and exult over yourselves who now know who you are, to the injury of your ignorant kinsmen, who are also the descendants of your own people. If you do, then you are dishonoring your origin. You are dishonoring your own family, and as a result, dishonoring your parents, and more importantly, you are dishonoring your God. Verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not you. God had punished the natural branches, which represent their ancient ancestors who were divorced, and many were slain during the Assyrian and Babylonian invasions. Verse 22, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you shall also be cut off. There is no such thing as once saved, always saved. If you don't continue in the way, once he has drawn you and done you good, then you will be cut off and blotted out of the book of life. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, G80, Adelphos, of the same womb and of the same national ancestor, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the dispersed nations of lost Israel be come in. This is a prophecy found in Genesis 48:19, in which Jacob Israel told Joseph regarding his sons Ephraim and Manasseh, who today represent Europe and America, that they would both become a multitude of nations, which they have. The white European nations and the United States, which is the regathering place of all 12 tribes, as prophesied also in 2 Samuel 7:10. The white nations of the world can easily be traced back to each of the 12 sons of Jacob. The fullness of the nations is a reference to the gospel catching up to our people all over the world, which resulted in the veil of blindness being lifted and realizing who we are and whose we are. To know the mystery, you have to know your history. Paul repeats this in 2 Corinthians 3:14, which explains that our minds are still hardened because when the Old Testament is read, the same veil remains, because we've been taught that the Old Testament is about the Jews, so the veil lies on our hearts. But when you are influenced by the divine spirit and be as a little child and allow yourself to be taught the gospel never told and turn to the real Jesus Christ and the true doctrine of Scripture, the veil is taken away. Verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written,
There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob."
Isaiah 45:17, "But Israel shall be saved in Yahweh with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end." Isaiah 59:20,
"And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, says Yahweh. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yahweh. My spirit that is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, says Yahweh, from henceforth and forever."
Romans 11:27,
"For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins."
Isaiah 27:9, "By this therefore shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin, when he makes all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder, the groves and images shall not stand up." Jeremiah 31:31,
"Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah."
Romans 11:28, "As concerning the gospel, they are on your account enemies, but as concerning the election, they are beloved for the fathers' sakes." Enemies, because the lost nations of scattered Israelites were considered common and unclean by the Israelites of the house of Judah in Jerusalem, because they were unaware of their relationship to them and whose they were. They were both beloved of their forefather Jacob. It's no different than white Americans of the North being enemies of white Americans in the South. They were both white American kindred peoples of the same national ancestry and under the same covenant and offered the same redemption through the gospel, which was promised to the whole racial family. Both houses of Americans, from the North and South, are beloved for the forefathers' sakes. This is also no different than white Americans and white Europeans. Both are from the same racial stock and promised the same redemption, which was covenanted with our ancient forefathers and Yahweh God. The gospel is the message of reconciliation and redemption to the whole white Adamic olive tree, the racial family that sprung from Adam. In Romans chapter 12, Paul explains that we are all pieces of the same body, each with different functions. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, G80 Adelphos, of the same womb and same national ancestor, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The body is not the church, and the body is not full of members of other races. Notice in verse 1, brethren, and holy. These are Israelites. This is defined as being of the same national ancestry. All races do not come from the same national ancestor. You can't mix and match all the different races as parts into one body like a Mr. Potato Head toy.
It's Mr. Potato Head and his bucket of farts. Life's not easy, it's making life's more fun. Mr. Potato Head and his bucket of farts. It's a fun, brand new one. To make a million silly faces, it's the place to start. Put them all together, then make them all apart.
Put them all together, then take them all apart.
It's Mr. Potato Head.
Mr. Potato Head and his bucket of parts, new from Play School.
1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Again, Christ is G5547 Christos, and also refers to the anointed people of Jacob Israel. So what 1 Corinthians 12:12 is really saying is, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is the anointed, meaning the anointed group, the offspring, the seed of Jacob Israel. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Brotherly love is G5360, Philadelphia, and means fraternal affection, brothers, sisters, relationship through the womb, kinsmen. The gospel is brotherly love. All the races are not brothers. This is universalism, which the world and the churches teach. Scripture does not teach universalism. The anointed body does not consist of those who have not been born of the anointed seed. The anointed body is holy, which means set apart, and no other peoples are holy and set apart. Yahweh God consecrated only Israelites as a holy and set apart people. In verses 13 through 23 of chapter 14, Paul teaches against making another stumble. This is done by unrighteous judging of how one chooses to live. The churches teach that we can eat and do anything because the food laws were done away with, were all under grace and not under the law, and that we are not to judge each other. But it's not that cut and dry. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God, or rather, for the reign of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things, meaning in righteousness, serves Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of men. The part regarding eating meat is not a reference to eating pork and unclean animals, which is still forbidden, as these animals are still the garbage-disposing vacuum cleaners of the land and waters, and they contain high levels of toxicity and are not fit to consume. The context is of eating meats sacrificed to idols. Some of the Israelites had a conscience about eating meat offered to other gods. This was the case in most instances because the meat was sold in the markets that were attached to the temple. So many became vegetarians because of this. Others would just buy their meats and take it home and pray over it and not think twice. And others would condemn each other over who ate and who did not eat and cause unnecessary division. Another example would be those who observe a Saturday Sabbath or go by the solar calendar, in which the Sabbath changes each year because the calendar is reckoned by the spring equinox. It doesn't so much matter which day you observe your Sabbath. What matters is keeping one of 7 days consistently as your Sabbath. The gospel is also of peace and brotherly love. We are not to condemn each other over daily decisions. We are, however, to judge each other when one is not following the way and try to show them their error. How else would a righteous community thrive if nobody ever judged you if you were living unrighteously? Hence the world we live in today. Do what thou wilt is not what Scripture teaches. In Romans chapter 15, we see that the gospel is for the house of Judah and the house of Israel alike. Romans 15:8. Now I say that Yeshua Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Notice, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. The promises made unto the fathers of the churches, the Gentiles, Jews, and other races? No, the promises unto the forefathers of Israel. When Yeshua Christ came, he came to Judea, where the house of Judah, which is the 2 southern tribes, they returned after the Babylonian captivity, and he walked among them. They were the circumcision. That's why the Scriptures says in Zechariah 12:7, to Judah first, then to the dispersed nations, meaning the uncircumcised, lost Israelites. When he ascended, he commanded his disciples to then bring the gospel to the scattered tribes outside Judea. He repeatedly said, go not unto the Gentiles, but go rather unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He repeatedly stated that he was sent only unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Romans 15:9, and that the Gentiles, which should read, and that the dispersed nations of Israel might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to you among the lost nations of Israel, and sing unto your name. This is not talking about the church or Gentiles. There are no prophecies in all of Scripture made to them or to anyone else. These are prophecies made to Israelites. 2 Samuel 22:51. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. Psalm 18:49. Therefore will I give thanks unto you, O Yahweh, among the nations of Israel, and sing praises unto your name. Who was his king, his anointed, and David's seed forevermore? Israelites, specifically Israelites of the house of Judah. Who were the heathen David was giving Yahweh thanks among? Israelites, pagan Israelites. John 10:16, and other sheep I have, speaking about the house of dispersed Israel, which are not of this fold, speaking of the house of Judah, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The next three verses are so badly translated that without study and proper understanding, it has turned into a universal doctrine for everyone. Romans 15:10-12, and again Moses said, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise Yahweh, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you people. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Sounds like everybody is invited, doesn't it? Verses 10 through 12 have been butchered by the translators who changed the grammar, the punctuation, and added words. Let's examine the Greek. Bear in mind that the nations are of lost Israel, and the Latin word Gentiles does not belong in Scripture at all. Verse 10, and again it says, rejoice, nations, with his people. And again, praise Yahweh, all the nations, and commend him, all the people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be the root of Jesse, and he is arising to be ruler of nations. Upon him the nations have expectation. These are statements and prophecies of Israelites, to Israelites, and of Israelite nations. We know this because Yahweh demands we be separate from the other races, and because Christ Yeshua is the King of Israel, in whom we have expectation. The context never changes. The churches have changed the context and who these things are written to. How do we know it's speaking of Israelites? Because where verse 10, 11, and 12 say, again, it says, these are the places where three prophecies were made. We already saw in verse 9 the prophecies made in 2 Samuel 22:51 and Psalm 18:49 that the nations that would glorify God and be praised and thanked among were Israelites. In verse 10, where it says again, is from Deuteronomy 32:43, which was spoken to Israelites and was about Israelites. Verse 11, where it says again, is from Psalm 117:1, which was spoken to Israelites and was about Israelites. And verse 12, where it says again, is from Isaiah 11:10, which was spoken to Israelites and was about Israelites, all of which are references to the nations of Israelites. You can plainly see that none of these verses, prophecies, promises, and statements are made to the church, Gentiles, Jews, or the other races. The context is always of Israelites. Paul's reason for writing so boldly. Romans 15:14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, G80, Adelphos, of the same womb and same national ancestry, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, Adelphos, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be minister of Yeshua Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Well, Paul is not offering up Gentiles to God, or presenting Gentiles with the gospel. Paul is not filling Gentiles with knowledge. He is reminding his Adelphos of the same womb brethren of Israel of their heritage and identity, so that they may return to God and be accepted and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Don't forget, blacks, Asians, and Mexicans were not citizens in Rome, or even living anywhere near or among white people at that time. These were all white empires. Only the end of every empire had mixed races and cultures, which is why they all fell. Every empire fell through fiat currency, homosexuality, and the mixing of races. This is why God demands we be holy, which means set apart from them. Verse 17, I have, therefore, whereof I may glory through Yeshua Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not worked by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, which should read, to make the dispersed nations obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. If Paul preached to the Gentiles to be obedient by word and deed, then why do the Gentile churches teach some other word that you don't need works and deeds? Verse 20, Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, meaning Paul brought the gospel where Christ had not yet been uttered or professed, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, meaning not to take credit for another man's labors. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. The dispersed nations of Israel did not hear or see, because in this case with the Romans, their ancestors left before the Exodus, and also all those Israelites taken in the Assyrian and Babylonian invasions who had not returned to their homeland had forgotten who they were and their ancestral heritage and history. The prophecy spoken of in verse 21 is not of the church, Gentiles, Jews, or the other races. It was spoken to Israelites. Romans 15:21 is from Isaiah 52:15. So shall he sprinkle many nations, the kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Our people in the churches had not been told these things, so they don't see, and they have not heard the gospel never told. But will they now consider? Will they now understand? It's up to Yahweh to draw them to these truths, but if they refuse, then it's their own fault. Yahweh will let them have their delusions, which they love so much, because who doesn't want Happy Meal sermons, bacon, rapture tickets, and guaranteed salvation by just reciting factual verses? Silly Judeos, tricks are for Gentiles. Romans chapter 16 begins with the personal greetings to those whom Paul identifies as saints, first fruits, kinsmen, and brethren, which are all Israelites, as these are kindred peoples of the same womb and national ancestors, and the only peoples in Scripture called saints and first fruits. And Paul's letter to the Romans closes with Romans 16:25, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Yeshua Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." The identity of the children of Israel is the mystery. Verse 26, "But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." Again, the King James Version translators left out the definite article "the," G3588, as in all the nations. Universalizing this gospel message, heritage, and inheritance to those outside of the chosen seed line. Verse 27, "To God, wise alone, be glory through Yeshua Christ forever. Amen." It sounds wonderful that God would want to save everybody in the world, but this is just not what Scripture teaches. This Bible is not a world history book, or about the Jews and Gentiles, the other races, or the church. It's a history book of the born from above race and family of Adam. Genesis 5:1 states this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. The whole Bible repeatedly records lineage, ancestry, and the genealogies of the children, clans, tribes, and nations of Adamic men. The laws and commandments were given to the race of Adam, and the redemption of our race was foretold by Yahweh God, starting in Genesis chapter 3, through the seed of the woman, which was fulfilled in Jesus Yeshua Christ, who through him alone is the path back to the Father. The prophecies are always about Israelites. The gospel is exclusively to our racial and national family. This Bible is about covenant theology and kingdom theology. Only 1/6 of the Bible is addressed to the individual. The other 5/6 is addressed to the nation and race. Jesus proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. The apostles continued the message of the gospel of the kingdom. The Bible is our family heirloom. This Bible is simply not about the other races. They are not part of the family, the inheritance, the covenants, or the promises. I want to be clear that although these scriptures and the message is exclusive to our people, this does not mean it's a message of hate towards the other races. It's simply not their heritage, history, or inheritance. The other races can imitate the morals, values, and teachings, but they cannot receive the things that were given and promised to us. They cannot become Israelites, and they are not offered eternal life. Salvation and redemption is not for them. They don't have anything to be saved from, and they can't be redeemed because they were never bought. They can, however, receive of the crumbs which fall from the children's table, as Christ himself stated. This does not mean that they can have a relationship with our God. It simply means that they can be blessed and live a good life if they bless and are good to the people of God. And we see this of those races who respect that. But at the same time, sadly, most of them always turn against us, hate us, and then blame us for their problems, which is why Jesus said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, or cast your pearls before swine, lest they turn and rend you." And this usually happens because the Jews are the ones that instigate and agitate them against us. But then again, if you are not Jew savvy, then you can't even see that. The churches have done a horrible job by perverting and sharing our heritage with the other races, and the churches are the main reason why our Bible has been adulterated into 33,000 versions of the truth and into a gospel that simply is not found in Scripture. Sadly, over 99% of our people have never been told what the gospel truly is. I pray that this presentation can start to change that. Time is short, the end is near, and the number of those who are lost and will return to the fold will soon be fulfilled. Repent, learn the truth, fill your lamps, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The gospel is not about proclaiming personal salvation, it's about proclaiming the kingdom. I'd like to share another excerpt from an article by Arnold Kennedy.
Why not proclaim the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom in the epistles. There are references to the kingdom of God in the epistles, but as shown, the people are still Israelites who are being addressed. The new covenant excludes fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, the effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, the covetous, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners from inheriting the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is always spoken of as being an inheritance. The majority of Bible teachers teach that all Christians are already in the kingdom, instead of Christians being in the process of receiving or qualifying for the kingdom as heirs. This is the kingdom that Jesus will deliver up to the Father when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. This inheritance of the brethren cannot be inherited by flesh and blood, but only those who are changed at the trump of God. Until this time, the gospel of the kingdom is to be preached as a witness, and then the end shall come. Jesus here is speaking of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, and this is to be preached to the cities of Israel, till the Son of Adam be come. The entrance of Israelites into the kingdom of God is by inheritance and walking in the light, so that the blood of Jesus is able to cover sin. There are many conditional scriptures to this end that include the word kingdom. Hebrews 12:28, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." James 2:5, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him?" 2 Peter 1:10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things," meaning the commandments, "you will never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Again, what is the time given for entrance to be ministered? What is the time of the promise? In Revelation, we find the time when comes salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God. "Then reward is given unto thy servants, the prophets, and the saints." This reward is given to no others. This is the receiving of the inheritance. As yet, we have only an earnest, meaning a down payment, the Holy Spirit, of this inheritance. Paul also talks of 1. Being translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. 2. Being fellow workers in the kingdom of God. 3. Being called unto his kingdom and glory. 4. Being counted worthy of the kingdom of God. 5. The appearing of his kingdom. And 6. Being preserved unto his heavenly kingdom.
I pray you are starting to see that the kingdom is not a place, a realm, or a piece of real estate, but rather that the kingdom is a condition, a state of mind, and a way of being. We see that we must be fellow workers in his kingdom. We must walk worthy as representatives of his kingdom. We are justified by our faith and works, which account us as worthy of his kingdom. That when we are believing and living according to the way, we will be worthy at his appearing. And that as we are establishing and being his kingdom during this life, we are preserved unto his heavenly kingdom. The kingdom is a reign, and when we answer the call, repent, amend our ways, and are profitable servants, then we enter into his reign, and we embody the condition of reigning with him during this life, and we prepare for his kingdom as it is to come in glory. This is what it means to be a lively stone in his reign. Let's close out this episode with a clip of what the gospel is according to the churches.
The gospel. God sends his Son into the world, the God-man, really man, really God, really human, really divine, lives a perfect life, fulfills the whole law, dies in the place of sinners intentionally, absorbs all the wrath of God against those who believe in him, takes away all their guilt, forgives all their sins, rises from the dead triumphant over death and hell and Satan, sins, rules with power from on high, will come again, give eternal life, raise from the dead all those who trusted in him. There is no better news.
This guy loves his adjectives. These preachers don't know anything, so they have to accentuate their shallow messages and jingles with these adjectives. Really man, really God, really human, really divine. No other news. Really? That's that. No other news. No need to know your roots, your ancestry, or your holy heritage. No need to honor your ancestors. No need to know the law, or repent, or change your ways. Just trust in Him. Even though you know nothing about Him, His name, His divinity, or His plan to redeem you. Just believe. Don't worry about deepening your knowledge. Don't worry about proving your faith by your works. No need to question your church or your doctrinal beliefs. God just wants you to believe, and there is no better news.
Just believe.
Well, I'm not a pulpit pimp for the state, or a snake oil salesman who gives Happy Meal sermons and tells you all you have to do is just believe and recite verses, and then you're saved. I love my God, Yahweh, my Savior, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, and my people, the Anglo-Saxon Caucasian children of Yisra'el. And I want you to know that there is more news, and this is how I would explain the gospel. The gospel is the good news of the redemption of the household of God and the reign of the kingship of Jesus, Yeshua Christ. The gospel began in Genesis when, after Adam fell, Yahweh God put a plan into place to redeem Adam and his descendants, who are the Anglo-Saxon Caucasian Israelite people. The good news of redemption begins in Genesis 3:15 with the promise of our Savior, Jesus, Yeshua Christ, of the seed of the woman, who would be born of a virgin, walk among us in the flesh, as the Lamb of God, be lifted up and sacrificed, die, be buried in a tomb, and rise the third day, and by His blood redeem those who were under the penalty of sin by His propitiatory shelter, which Genesis 3:21 represents. The gospel is the good news that though our Israelite ancestors were forsaken for a small moment for breaking the marriage covenant with the Father made at Sinai, He will regather and reconcile us, which is what the gospel message is about. That He keeps His promises of mercy and His loving commitment, which He swore unto Abraham's offspring, and that these promises shall not depart from us, neither shall the covenant be removed. This is the gospel message. The good news is that Jesus Christ paid the price by becoming a sin offering for His people, and that by His shed blood and through repentance for the remission of the penalty of sin, we might become considered righteous and accepted with God if we walk as a renewed Christian, deepening our knowledge and our understanding of His Word and of our heritage, and to make the necessary changes to continue walking in the way as a profitable servant, thereby embodying the reign of Jesus Christ, which is a condition we experience when we are called out of darkness. The good news is that Jesus Christ was calling out His people through the message that the kingdom had arrived, and that the promises and prophecies made to our B.C. Israelite ancestors were being fulfilled in their A.D. descendants, reminding them and us of who we are and whose we are, and that we are called out of the world system, out of the apostate churches, and out of the kingship and reign of Satan. And it is revealed unto us who the children of the devil are, and that this world system is enmity against the kingship of God. And so it prompts us to make the necessary changes in our thoughts and lifestyles, our hearts and minds, and brings us into a condition of being a lively stone in His reign. This is the gospel never told. The gospel is also a commandment. It's a heritage we need to be reminded of. It's a call to repentance. It's a way of life to walk in. Because the law of Yahweh God is perfect and converts our souls. The statutes are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments are pure, enlightening the eyes. And the reverence of God is clean, and His judgments are true and righteous. And that by them the servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. This is the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the promise made back in Genesis 3:15, who would overcome the strong man and redeem our race from the devil who has held the trust deed of our lives and the dominion which Adam gave up to him in the garden. The gospel is the good news, reminding you that you have an inheritance waiting for you if you do that which is required of you to attain the condition you need to embody, which comes from knowing, having, believing, doing, and practicing the faith of Christ, which is made complete in you when you also have the works and fruits which prove your faith and belief in Christ. The gospel is taking this knowledge and sharing it with your kinsmen and women, cleansing them with the word, and the kingdom will be among you. Your reward will be your placement as sons and daughters in the reign of Yeshua Christ. The gospel is a family heirloom, a heritage, a promise, a covenant, a commandment, obedience, a marriage relationship, a love story, a warning, repentance, a calling out, a revealing of the mystery. The gospel is a certain belief. It's a state of mind and a certain condition of being to embody. It's a kingdom theology, a memorial reminded through the seven holy feast days, a kingship and a reign, a redemption plan fulfilled by the seed of the woman in Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh God. This is the gospel message. This is the gospel never told.